Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here. Somebody said that we look younger. I said, you better see Specsavers. But it's marvellous to be able to come and celebrate with you on this 50th anniversary of particularly of the opening of this building, but of the beginning of the church. We could say this church is Inverell Mark II. We thank God for the time that we spent here yesterday, it seems, and for the opportunity of coming back again today. As Laurie mentioned, the first time we were here, it was back in 1970 when I was pastoring at Lismore, and we brought a team of people over for a weekend. Wendy said she'd forgotten about that. I think that's sad, because it was a red letter day for us all as we came over. Somebody's car gave trouble on the way across, I remember too. Anyway, it was a different world 50 years ago, wasn't it? Boy, oh boy, was it a different world. And I guess some of you who have been part of this church for a reasonable time wouldn't recognise today the church as it was back then. Back in 1954, would you believe, services were held when the Baptist Church in Inverell was commenced as an outstation, from Warrialda, would you believe. Albert Hollowell, who was the pastor here, had a radio program in Inverell. Would that happen today? I'm not sure. And together with a group of believers began evening services in the Inverell Girl Guides Hall. And later on, services began in the morning, not in that place, but in another. And on the 12th of June 1955, Inverell Baptist Church, Mark 1, was officially opened or formed. A property was purchased. We saw that photograph a little while ago, and it was serving as a church and a manse. And it was still part of a circuit ministry with Inverell, Warrialda and Bundarra being the three churches involved. The church ran into difficulties. In 18 months, 32 people moved away from the district. That's a lot of people. The membership decided to disband the church. A Friday evening Bible study was continued, and when I was pastoring at Glen Innes back in the early 60s, I used to come down here on a Friday night to George and Melba's place and share in a Bible study with a group of people. That was a great thing, really. By this time, the Armidale Church had taken over Bundarra and the Warrialda ministry had ceased to exist. It was in 1967 that enthusiastic people began another series of regular services. Property was purchased, and in December 67, a decision was made to build the hall. The Inverell Baptist Church was officially reconstituted in August 1968, land purchased, and this building was opened on the 24th of May 1969, almost exactly 50 years ago. There were 29 in the membership. The youth group and coffee ministry was begun. You saw something on the screen about work that the youth did in putting a float together for one of the town's celebrations. The manse was paid off in 2000, and over time, five members of this church have gone into full-time Christian ministry, and five others into missionary service overseas. That's not a bad effort. And the rest, they say, is history, with all of its ups and downs. And yet, the church has had an impact on the lives of countless people. So today we come to give thanks to God for what he has done through this place in the last 50 years. Of course, not all memories of the past are positive. Fact of life for us all, is it not? And sadly, there are people who will be bearing scars of the hurts that have been inflicted through this church and many other churches and people within them. But we can be encouraged because God is at work. He is always at work in this world by his Spirit. This old hymn, part of which says, "The church of Jesus constant will remain." People have tried to wipe it out in lots of places over time, and certainly in Russia, the communists sought very much to get rid of the church, but it's thriving a lot better than it is in Australia in this 2019 year. The church of Jesus constant will remain. What are we to make of differing experiences in the past, be they positive, and there are many of them, or negative? Whatever, we may be confident of the guidance of God and his grace to us over the years. There's another old hymn. See, I'm an old bloke, I remember the old hymns. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That is incredible. His love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Well, what about the next 50 years should the Lord not return before then? What about them? What will they bring? How will we respond to his leading in the next 50 years? It's significant at a time like this to think back on the past and to thank God for what he has done. But it is more important to think about the future. Much more important to think about the future. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah said, "The Lord said to his people, watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It's already happening. You can see it now. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do." At this time, the people were in captivity in Babylon. The new thing the Lord is going to do is to take them back to the land that he had promised them. He's going to make a road through the wilderness. He's going to enable them to travel, because he will meet all their needs. He says, "I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there." What great news! Fantastic! The Lord taking us back to where we belong. To these people, away in Babylon, in captivity, God is going to act to bring that captivity to a conclusion. To people longing to be free, that was good news. Or was it? Or was it? Some, soon they would be able to return to Judah and worship again in Jerusalem. That is the dream they had cherished for so long. Yet when the time came, many, possibly most, refused to go. They stayed in Babylon, for they had built their homes there. They had set up businesses there, would you believe? They had children born to them while they were there. Some of those had married local girls or boys, and they had no desire to leave their homeland. We may say, what's wrong with these people? God's promising them something wonderful, and they're not taking it up, or many of them. The thing that was wrong with them was that they were comfortable. They were comfortable. Always a dangerous place to be, the place of comfort. Is it any different for us here? How will we approach a new period of ministry through this church? How are we facing the new challenges of the 21st century? And they will become greater as the time goes by, I believe. Some challenges we can sort of foreshadow, others will be quite not even thought of. I suggest that the way we respond to the next 50 years will be somewhat the same as the people of Israel long ago. We can learn a lot from their history as recorded in the Old Testament. Some of us may look forward to any change with fear. Some of us will wish that we could just remain as we are. We're comfortable here. Some of us will look to the future with great excitement and will be working hard to be part of the change that God will bring. Well, to which group do you belong? You'll be in one of those three camps, I feel pretty certain. The Lord said to his people, long ago I made a road through the sea, a path through the swirling waters. The words refer to the Exodus, when God with a mighty hand brought out the people from Egypt. And Israel looked back to that time constantly. You read the Old Testament, you see it on nearly every page. They're brought back to that time when they were taken out of Egypt. And they saw his mighty hand at work, freeing them. Now the Lord says he's about to do another great thing for the people. Do not cling to the past or dwell on what happened long ago. They are warned by God. Do not cling to the past or dwell on what happened long ago. The words are relevant to us today. We aren't to dwell on the past of what has happened in the last 50 years. There have been times of great growth. There have been times of retreat. But we are not to cling to the past, be the past good or bad in our thinking. In the present, you see, the people of Israel continued to rebel against God. The past hadn't helped them very much at all in the broad brush of things. It's easy to live in the past. The Lord says to his people, you were tired of me and you didn't worship me. It's easy to live in the past, to relive its glories, and to be comfortable with the way things have been. The good old days are always with us. It's always a danger for old people like me to think back to the past and the good old days when things were much better. And they were, in many ways. But then, it's easy to look back on the past and think about the unpleasant things that happened, to allow the negatives to shape our future, and to shape our present, for that matter. That's what happened to King Saul, you know. The king of Israel, as he was the king of Israel, he felt that everyone should pay respect to him and listen to him and everything he said. Then David comes along and he kills Goliath. He becomes popular, even more popular than King Saul. Saul grows jealous. He tries to kill David. He allows his jealousy to grow into hatred. He becomes bitter. He refuses to give up his hatred. He grows psychologically unbalanced. He loses control of himself and he dies by his own hand. That's what happens when you hold on to the past and won't let it go. It destroys you and others around you. We need to let go of the past and to look to the future. And this time of celebration of what God has done is a time when we look to the future to see what he's going to do in the days to come. We are not to dwell on the past, to relive its glories or its negatives. If we are to grow as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to grow as people, we will learn the lessons of the past, both positive and negative, but we will let the past go and allow the Lord to lead us forth as his people. Israel sadly didn't do this very well, and she ceased to be as a nation later on. Well, in the middle of all that, there is grace. That's the wonderful thing. C.S. Lewis was once asked, what is the thing that marks out the Christian religion from every other? He said, that's easy. Grace. Grace. And it's a wonderful word and a wonderful meaning to that word. It is still so. The wonder of God's grace is that he loves us in spite of who we are, where we've been, what we've done. Think about all the people in the Old Testament whom God used. They are all terrible sinners, really. They were murderers and adulterers and all sorts of things. But God used them in a wonderful way. God's grace is greater than all my sin, as a new song has it somewhere. I can think of some new songs. Well, we need to turn to him. He longs to make us more mature people. People after the image of Christ. So rather than dwell on the past, we look to the future and watch for the new thing God is going to do. What new thing does he have in store for us? I don't know. If you're a true prophet, you might know, but I certainly don't. Beginning a new era of ministry is an exciting and challenging thing. What has the Lord in store for us? Where will he lead us? Are we up to it? Well, of course we're up to it if our focus is on our Lord Jesus. It will involve change. Change. I remember a chap coming to a church some years ago where we'd moved all the seats. We'd moved all the seats. And he came to the front of the front door of the church and he said to me, I thought I was coming to church. He couldn't handle the change. Laurie and Wendy will know him well, actually. Anyhow, change, that's what it will involve, whatever God's good gifts are in store for us. It will mean change. A friend of mine who was a pastor in New Zealand, it can't happen in Australia, let me say that. And it can't happen in Inverell for sure. But he was pastoring this church in New Zealand, and it was a very small church, about 10 or 12 people. And they decided that they would pray to God for 3 new people to come to the church in the next 3 months. Guess what happened? 3 new people turned up. they got emboldened and they said, Lord, give us 6 new people in the next 6 months. And he did. And the church over a period of 2 years grew quite large. And then the people who'd been there all the time began to white ant things because they were losing their power. They were losing control of what the church was on about. Another 2 years' time, the church was back to where they started. You see, it can happen so easily and so insidiously. What is the Lord in store for us? I don't know. But it will be something great and good, and it will involve change. Horrors, change. It's the one thing people find difficult to cope with. Reflecting on the people of Israel and what they did, we may ask, to which group do I belong? Am I comfortable with where we are? Am I looking forward to where the Lord may lead with some sense of fear and uncertainty? Or am I ready to embrace the challenge of the exciting new days that are in front of us? I am doing a new thing, said the Lord to the people of Israel. He's doing a new thing for this church in Inverell. Are we ready for him? Are we up to it? Are we open to where he wants to lead us? I believe that that's very possible, knowing you people. May the Lord bless you and take care of you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favour and give you peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for 50 years of ministry that have seen people won to Christ and grow to maturity in him. Those years that have seen ups and downs, which seem to be part of the common life which we lead. We thank you, however, that through it all your hand has been upon us, and we look forward to the future with great excitement, anticipation at what you're going to do. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do, you have said. Let it be so. For your glory we pray. Amen.